Well, we're going back in our teaching again this morning to and talking about sanctification. Now, last week we've talked about two different areas. We had spoke about the fact that we as believers is being sanctified. We were set apart by God. And we found out that we became, the Bible talks about us being kings and priests. Peter wrote about us being a royal priesthood. And so this is something we become. We looked concerning the Old Testament where the priests were set aside by God, and they were set specifically. They were a specific group of people, and that's what the church is. The church is a specific group of people. You are part of a specific people. Now, where Peter wrote about it, and they translated and said in King James, a peculiar people, and the New King James says a special people. But actually that word has the idea of something that's purchased or something that's a possession. In other words, we're a possession of God. We've been purchased. We're specifically set aside just as the priesthood was in the Old Testament. You had to be in the priesthood family. And this we're talking about concerning the new birth. You have to be born into the priesthood family. You can't get in it. You can't get in because you're a nice person, you do anything good or anything like that. That's why we need to understand the Bible tells us that salvation cannot be by works. It's an impossibility. You can never get good enough. You must be born into the priesthood. You can't get in any other way. There's no way to get in except through birth. And so the new birth, what we're talking about, we're born into this, this kingship. We talked about the fact that we are in the priesthood of Melchizedek, just as Jesus Christ is in that priesthood. This is a difference than the priesthood of the Old Covenant. That priesthood, those priests, had to offer sacrifices for themselves so they could be in the presence of God. They had to go through these rituals. We don't do that. We were saved or born into this, really, from a supernatural standpoint, by faith in Christ Jesus. We became or hold our position because of the work of Jesus Christ, not because you and I did a thing. We didn't do anything for it to enter into this thing. And now we're in this priesthood. And we're talking about sanctification. It's something that was given to us, just like righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have also been sanctified through birth. You're in a sanctified birth. You're in a sanctified priesthood. The priest used to go through rituals of sanctification to go into the presence of God. They had to do these certain things. You and I were born and sanctified by God. And this is really important because, you know, I haven't gotten over to teaching any about the do's and the don'ts. And we're not going there this week. It's because there is a lot of do's in from a standpoint, things that we want to do and don't. You want to learn to be led by your spirit. You want to learn to walk and live. There's things we don't want the flesh to dominate. If the flesh dominates, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, it says you're going to reap corruption, the Bible says. So you don't want to do those things. But the major reasons people don't live right lots of times is because of ignorance in scriptures. Number one, over the past 20 years, the church has really worked hard at watering down grace and making grace so sloppy and so worthless that it's meaningless. It don't even mean a thing. Grace to most of the church world today means, you know, I just get away with stuff. We don't want to get away with anything. We're supposed to be free from sin. And the church they teach today, you're free to sin. That's what grace is. Grace is freedom to sin. It's not free from something. See, we've been separated. We've been set free from something, but also we've been set free to something, and that's to serve God and to follow God. You can freely serve God. It's not so, grace is not to freely serve sin or serve the flesh. So, we found out also, we were teaching last week about the fact that we have become the temples of God. There was a man-made temple that they had in the Old Testament. They had that temple. And now, this uniqueness of this new birth, we have become kings and priests. And on top of it now, you and I have become temples of God. In other words, God is living in us. In the Old Covenant, they had the temple, or back when you took the tabernacle, that Ark of the Covenant, God dwelt between the cherubim. His presence was there. When a person in Israel, other than one of the priests, was required by God, if he wanted to come with the presence of God, he had to go to Jerusalem and go up to the temple, and every year they had to present themselves there. They were required to present themselves to God. In the millennium, it's going to be the same thing for the people in the millennium. They're going to have to go every year, the Bible tells us, every year during the millennium, they're going to go up because God's presence ain't going to live among them like we have here, like we do today in the church age. Because it says every year they got to go present themselves. They're going to have to do that again. Wherever the presence, see, Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem. He ain't going to be in everybody. Things have changed. A lot of the church world don't know that. They don't pay any attention to what they read in the Bible. Anyhow, you and I walk around today with the presence of God is already in us. It's inside of us. God is present in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is physically in heaven. Did you know that? He's physically in heaven. He has a glorified physical body. He's in heaven. When people talk about how's Jesus in us? By the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit in you, Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send another comforter. That word another there means one of the same kind. One just like him. To have the Holy Spirit in you is to have Jesus in you. He's just like Jesus. If you don't know, no better than you know the Holy Spirit do you know Jesus. This is why most of the church world today has a major problem. Because the Bible says this, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. You can't be led by Jesus if you don't know the Holy Spirit. Can't be. This is why we've had all this mess going on with all this false prophecy and all this stuff going on. Because people don't know Jesus, they don't know the Holy Ghost. They're running around prophesying things God don't, they don't know when God's talking or ain't talking. They don't know. And they're running around saying all kind of nonsense. And people are falling for it because they don't know God either. They don't know Jesus. You better learn Jesus. Hallelujah. When he's talking and when he's not. And there's a lot of talking going on today saying God's saying stuff and he ain't saying it. There's a lot of it going on. God ain't talking and people are talking. They're talking out of their own spirits and it ain't what God's saying. You gotta learn to what you have in you and what God's saying. There's a difference. The Holy Ghost ain't your spirit. You can say things out of your spirit that God didn't say. And say God said. And he didn't say it. Your own spirit spoke. People don't know the difference. People don't know the difference between your own spirit and the Holy Ghost. Most people are led by their own spirit. I'll tell you what, my own spirit ain't bright enough yet. I don't know about yours. Maybe you're a genius. I don't know. I ain't arrived yet. I still need the Holy Ghost. You know, there's things that I have in my heart that I desire and things are good, but I'm just going to tell you this. The Holy Ghost has not spoken to me yet that it will come to pass. And I will not speak it, no matter how much I want it. That's why I would not declare that Trump was going to be president. I wanted him to. I wanted Trump to be president. In my heart, I wanted him. I wanted that. But you know what? The Holy Ghost wasn't saying it. The Holy Ghost wasn't speaking it. That's why people were speaking it. They were talking and saying, God's saying, and they lied. Too many ministers and a lot of the prophets today are listening and speaking by their own spirit and not by God. And I'm talking about the main big boys. A lot of wrong stuff coming out. A lot of wrongs. Men speaking by what's in their heart they would like to have come to pass. What they're after. It would be good to be silent for a while till God says something. Is making sure, is this God talking? Because folks, these are really important things. We're in a day and time, we don't need a bunch of misguided stuff. You know, you might want some very good things, but if the Holy Ghost ain't moving that direction, you know. A lot of people want a lot of stuff. They want a lot of things. There'd be a lot of nice things come to pass. But what's the Spirit of God saying? You know, I'm thinking about the things and stuff that I want, and there I am minding my own business and you know, shaving, brushing my teeth, and the Holy Ghost said, there's a judgment coming. Now, I didn't want, that wasn't exactly what I was believing. That was not of my spirit. you need to understand those things in your spirit that you have in your spirit, they can be good things about bringing to pass, but we want to know what the Holy Spirit's. We want to cooperate. You know what God spoke to us to do? I've watched this over the year that people were called to, I knew that certain people were called to certain things, but that isn't what they wanted to do. They wanted to do other certain things, and they were good things that they wanted to do, but it wasn't what God called them to do. And they began to speak the things they wanted to do, and they ended up following the things they wanted to do and got away from God. They took that because it's in their heart. Well, then I can just bring this to pass. You know what? You can. You can take your heart and bring things to pass. God don't want you to. And they may be good things, but it'll get you out of the will of God. You might die early. You can get good things. I remember things that really stuck in my spirit. When I was in, this isn't a long run of sanctification, but God's talking. There was a story that Kenneth Hagin told that always sort of gripped my heart. He said one church that he pastored, there was a lady in the church and who came along and she got ill, and later on they found out that she had cancer. And it wasn't in a church that he was in. It was another church, but they had known this lady, and he had. They had been praying, and this woman, you know, nothing's ever changed. She just kept getting worse and worse. And anyhow, somehow they got into a conversation with her about something, and she made the statement. She said, don't bother praying for me. She said, I'm not going to get healed. I'm going to die. Well, Kenneth Hagin said this lady was known very much as being a very spiritual woman, and she was really, you know, people really, you know, sort of admired her and stuff and things, and they said, well, you know, why is that? She said, when I was a 16-year-old girl, she said, Jesus called me to missions. Told me, and she said, I knew where I was supposed to go. She said, when I was 16 years old. And she said, I always wanted a family and have kids and have a house and all this stuff. She said, I never obeyed God. She said, I got all the things that I want in life. I have them. But she said, I've been in disobedience all these years. And she said, I know this. I ain't going to get healed. She said, I'm going to die because I was in disobedience, never fulfilled the will of God. I mean, that always stuck with me. She got what she wanted. But she knows she had moved to the place she didn't qualify anymore. She walked in disobedience all those years, knew she shouldn't have been. But she wanted something else. So you can bring things to pass that you want. Your spirit. People don't realize the power of the human spirit. Just think about the Tower of Babel. Did the Lord say, oh, they're sinners, so it ain't going to work? They're in disobedience. It ain't going to work. No, he said, they're in agreement down there in that thing. Whatever they agree on is going to come to pass. What he needed to do is he turned around and changed their language so they couldn't agree with each other. But they could bring things to pass, and you need to know that. You can bring things to pass for yourself. You know, when the Lord, told me and I spoke to me when I was first got born again, I just knew I was called to ministry and I was going to go in the full-time ministry. It was one of the things that, those kind of things that I heard, I thought, well, it's just best to go over and follow the men, go ahead and do that. I don't want to go. I'm going to tell you what, everything down the road, eventually things show up. Eventually it happens. One of the things that we want to do is we're looking at today, as I want to talk to us about, because the Spirit of the Lord all week, what I do is I don't generally just sit down and just like study and study. God doesn't work with me in that way. Some people really study to get certain things. I do a lot of meditation on stuff. I'll usually get a scripture or so that start coming to me. Like I have notes on this sanctification stuff, but I have not used a whole lot of the notes yet. I've used some of them, but God speaks to me things about sanctification, and He'll show me something else. Well, the scripture that He kept bringing to me today is a familiar scripture from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, about dealing in ears, because we're dealing with sanctification, and when we're talking about sanctification here, is one of the things is people not knowing who and what they are. The average Christian does not know anything about sanctification, hardly. Not much. The average. There's some that do, but most of them don't know a thing about it. You can't live and walk in what you don't know about. Well, it's not taught, it's not preached. It's like righteousness. You know, most Christians don't know, like, when I came in the kingdom, righteousness was taught a lot. And I mean, we were taught well in the subject. Today, you don't get as much teaching in line. You know, it's just like being led by the Spirit. Now, when I came in the kingdom, I had Kenneth Hagin. I mean, you can't even get Kenneth Hagin's. You can send to their ministry and you can get series that they have on being led by the Spirit. But they cut a lot of the good stuff off that used to be Brother Hagin used to teach. That you ain't going to get the series like he originally taught them, because now they edit them to make people like them. Because they make anything that they might make somebody uncomfortable, they edit this stuff out. You don't keep that kind of stuff anymore. And they used to have his series, the entire original series that he taught on being led by the Spirit. That's the one that I had. That's the one that I grew up on. And that was really good because, now they turn around and they just take certain teachings out of that. And they put them in. And I'll tell you what, there's one thing about it. Kenneth Hagin used to say, lots of times the rabbit trails, you get just as much information as you do is the regular body of teaching. And so you get that because in those teachings, and the Holy Spirit would start to move and to say certain things that didn't necessarily have to do specifically with being led by the Spirit, but it sure added to it. It was like, oh my God, it was great things to know and understand. And so they remove a lot of that stuff, you know, because now men are indoctrinating today. Men are teaching. Men teach today. And we got to get away from that, from men teaching. We need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've endeavored in that from a little over 2 years ago there when the Lord said to me, will you allow me to say what I want to say? Will you allow me to do that? Well, I thought, that would be a good idea. That would probably be one of the best things to do. Because a lot of people are just talking and they're trying to figure out how they can best minister that people hear and understand. I'm going to just tell you what. Every one of you sitting here are different. If I tried to figure out how to teach you to make you all understand, ain't no way you can do it. For me to try to do that is totally stupid. If the Holy Ghost can't operate through me for you to understand, he ain't near as bright as he said he was. He's a pretty much of a nincompoop. And I think that's what most Christians, we have nothing, today is too much natural teaching, trying to figure out. I gave that up a long time ago, giving it up. Do you know, I've learned this, there are people who operate in the areas of teaching, who are line upon line teachers. And like I've told you, they're great. I mean, they'll sit down. I love to listen to line upon line teachers. I like to listen to them. You know, they'll take scripture, they'll just take a subject and hit from here to here to here to here. I started off, that's the way I used to teach. When the teaching anointing came on me, my teaching anointing came from Kenneth E. Hagin. That's where I got it. 1983, I got it from him. And now when I started off, I was teaching line upon line. That's what I was doing. I would do it that manner. Well, then later on, the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want you to teach line upon line. I want you to learn to teach by inspiration. And at first it started, it was more by perspiration than, because I would think, man, this is, because I love to go back to my notes, you know, I would just, what if I'm out there and all of a sudden I forget where I'm going and I need my notes, you know, to get, I had to learn to listen on my spirit. But now understand, you need both types of teaching. Well, see, Kenneth Hagin, now he, in the prophet's ministry, he taught more in the areas of inspiration. That's the way that he taught, is that. So you have people with different kinds of gifts that teach in different manners. But it's all the Holy Spirit. Whether it's line upon line or whether it's by inspiration. It is all the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to people. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said this, and I listened. Kenneth Hagin said when he wanted to reach people and get people saved. And the Lord told him to start teaching on healing. And he would go to meetings and teach. Now, he'd teach more by inspiration, but he'd teach on healing. He said, I got more people saved teaching on healing than I ever did preaching messages about salvation. Why? Why does that happen? Well, see, it's what people don't understand. It's the Holy Ghost moving. The Holy Ghost wanted to talk about healing. He can move things in people's hearts in the direction that He wants. We try to move it in the direction we want. Do it in our way. Now, I found out years ago by the teaching, when I was in India. I was over in India and there I was teaching what I was wanted to do most of all. I wanted to teach classes and teach the ministers. That's what I wanted to do. And so they'd have these morning sessions and other people could come to them and that stuff. But my basic thing was to minister to the ministers there I wanted to do. Well, they had this and they'd do it. But they turned around and said, well, we want you to preach the night crusades. And I said, I ain't the crusade boy. I'm not the crusade boy. You know, I would much rather have the guy, the evangelist, get somebody that anointing out there. Because see, I realize too many people are trying to do things that ain't outside their anointing and it ain't going to work. I know what works mine and what don't work. I've had invitations to a number of different places to go preach that I've turned down because they want me to come and operate in a gift that I'm not in. I have enough sense to say no. Most ministers will go to every one of them. I like these guys. They can preach to everything. You know, I can hold a crusade for you. I can teach the children's ministry. I can teach the youth ministry. I can do this whole. They can do everything. You don't even need God. Because they can do it all. Well, I can't do that. I don't know. I just, you know, it's learning my gift. But I knew something had to change. But anyhow, I told them, no, get some guy in there. And when I'm talking to him on the inside of me, I keep hearing this. You need to do the night service. And I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to do with this thing? They're going to put up with me and we're going to have, because you know, our things are night services. We want evangelistic. We want to reach people, get people healed, but born again. We want to get this thing going. Well, I said, okay, I'll pray about it. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really enthused about praying about it. I thought if I don't really discuss it much, maybe I won't hear and I won't know it. And this is one of those where I didn't pray much, but God spoke clearly. And He said to me, He said, you preach those. You take the night services. I thought, man. So I'm sitting down and I'm thinking about, well, we're going to put together. What am I going to do? And I got a couple of scriptures, but didn't get much of anything really with it and that stuff. But everything changed. When they had me come up front, there was anointing dropped on me I never had before. It was the anointing of the evangelist. I knew what it was. I've never had it. But I knew what it was. When I walked up in front, I knew people were just going to come to Jesus tonight. This was going to be a come to Jesus night. I just knew it. I just knew it. That anointing, you just know it. I often thought, boy, as evangelists, that's something else. Because they really got that anointing. You know, a lot of guys call themselves evangelists and they're not. I walked up there and I thought, my words. I could have almost gave an altar call without preaching the beginning and people would have came up. It was the weirdest thing. But that's that anointing. And you know what? I wanted to preach a Jesus message and I'm going to tell you what, a good Jesus message came out. I'm going to tell you what, but it was the Holy Ghost. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? After those meetings over, I came back to the United States. I ain't never had it since. I ain't never had that anointing ever come on me since. People say, well, you called to be evangelist? No. But it's one thing God taught me really concerning anointings and you gotta learn to yield to things and when it's there and when it's not there, don't try to do it. Don't try to do it. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord gave me a message because it's number one, we need to know as believers. You know, the Word of God we gotta become enough for you and me that we don't want or looking for something else where the Word's enough. And so, you know, the Lord kept speaking to me in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, very familiar. And this kept coming to me all week, this scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we know that scripture from the standpoint. We may be able to repeat it and stuff. But I want to do what the Holy Ghost was dealing with me on about this, is ministering on this, is from this fact, how much do you really believe you're a new creation? See, it makes a difference. How much do you believe in the new creation? What is this new creation? What is it? Do you really know what you are and what it is? See, we can have things in our mind. But this new creation, this new believer. See, we're talking about this because, see, when we became this believer, when we stepped into it, the day you called on the name of the Lord, you became a king and a priest. That very day, you became the temple of God. Now let me ask you this question. The Lord spoke to me about this. I just want to ask you about it. How would you live and what would you do? Do you think your life would change much? Say you're working wherever you work at or whatever you're doing. You would find out today that you were, they wanted to make you the CEO of the company or whatever you were or whatever. Or you found out all of a sudden somebody wanted to do something. You go home today and find out that somebody just gave you $500 million. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think it would change your life? See, everybody's eyes lighting up and looking around. But you know what? Look what we've been made as Christians, and it ain't changed our lives near as much as it should, because we have gotten more than all that. The reason it hasn't is because of unbelief. Or the fact of it is, you can't believe what you don't know. Or just because you can quote scriptures and you know they say things, that doesn't really mean you believe that you are that. See, this is what the whole thing of it is. We want people to live a life that they really don't have much faith, that they're really what it says. See, when you believe, if you believed you had $500 million, think about all the things that would change to your life about how you'd think about doing things and doing stuff. Well, how should if you really were a king and a priest, what if you really were the temple of God? Would that change your prayer life? Christians do very little praying. It's because of what they don't believe. I don't care if we can quote the scriptures. It's what you believe you really are. You will attain to what you really believe you are. What you really believe. That's why, see, we can go over, if we teach sanctification and we teach it and all the do's and don'ts, lots of time don't do a bit of good. Because most people don't believe they're much of anything anyhow. Most Christians, it's a lot of talk. We talk about being saved. What is it to be born again? What is this new creation? Well, see, we're talking about, we're separated to something. We're a special or we're a specific nation of people. We're still mostly, the church is mostly identified with the world. Mostly identified with the world. We mostly identify with everybody else out here and everything else. We don't see ourselves in what we are. See, God wants us to come to the place to see what we really are in this earth. There are people at times, you know, John G. Lake got glimpses into what he was, revolutionized the man, changed his life. Smith Wigglesworth, when he got revelations to what he really was, changed his life. So I know this. We want God to change us without us believing what the Scripture says or not even knowing what the Scripture says. God wants to change us by faith with His Word. We want a magic wand where somebody touches me and all of a sudden I become a, you know, I put the big S on, I go into, you know, the phone booth, and now you can't because they don't have the phone booth. You got to find a closet, maybe, you know, go find, you know, the cleaning closet and get inside of it. I don't know, and the door locks on you, you can't get out. We're looking for something like that. It doesn't happen that way. It's by faith in the Word of God. That's why I'm talking about the Word of God being enough. Is we meditate. We haven't spent the time meditating. You know, people meditate on healing. And that, which is nothing wrong with it, is understanding the subject. But we don't know who we are. This is one thing as the Lord, you know, dealt with me years ago when He talked to me about praying. He said, when you pray for a Christian, you're not praying. You don't pray in the same manner you do for just anybody in general concerning healing or anything like that. Because He said, a Christian has a covenant with me and you come, you bring them to me as if they belong to me. And you pray in that manner. Well, most people don't. Most people, you ask them to pray, they'll pray for sinner, saint, dog, cat, or whatever else exactly the same old way. Because they don't know. They don't know what a saint is. They'll pray the same way they pray for themselves. Most Christians don't even pray for themselves like they're something. Most of Christianity is praying for itself like we're a bunch of whiners trying to get something from God. You know, like trying to get something He don't want us to have, or we don't know if He wants us to have, or you know, somehow we got to jump through some hoops to get this, and if we get it, and don't realize the covenant that we have. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and we keep trying to get redeemed from the curse of the law. We're trying to get redeemed from what we're redeemed from. Instead of talking, see, because we don't see who we are. Christians will live sanctified when they understand and truly believe they have been sanctified by God. You can't live a sanctified life trying to get sanctified. It's like you can't live a righteous life trying to get righteous. You can't do those things. But yet that's what we're trying to do. We're not teaching people what they are. See, that's why I said, you know, the Lord had me say, you got $500 million. Now that, that would just change our life. See, we have a lot of thought in that area. We have a lot of information we could think of all the natural things our flesh would like and all that we could do, that all the stuff we could carry out. Oh, it might be nice stuff, good stuff, but it's all the stuff that we know this, we generally give more thought to those areas in our life, the natural things, than we do the spiritual things. Yet the greatest payoff is the spiritual things. Because if you understand the spiritual things, you don't have to have $500 million in the bank, but you can live like you're worth $500 million. But in the natural, you can't live like you have $500 million unless you have it. But by faith, you could live like a millionaire, not having a million in the bank. If you have to, if you can only believe when you see the money in the bank, then you're just like everybody else in the world. You're just like every, that they're, your line of living is by sight. See, faith reaches out beyond what I see that I have. Faith reaches and says, I got it when I can't see it. Faith is reaching out beyond. Faith is going to a place. This is where we're at. Sanctification. When a person knows they're separated by God, it changes their life. I'm separated. See, one of the things that I realized, and I was thankful for the fact that when I realized early that I was separated from God specifically for myself to be in the ministry, when I got a hold of that and that really became strong in me, I never tried to do something else in life. Educationally wise or nothing, I never tried to go in that. If I'm going to educate myself, it's going to be the area that God is pointing me to. I'm not going to try. I had offers to do different things and to get into businesses and stuff and things, people. Seemed like as soon as you know what God wants you to do, the devil sends you people that will try to get you off course. And everybody would always be this thing. Well, this is God's trying to bless you. Yeah, He told me what He's going to do to bless me. I was going to go into ministry. That's going to be the blessing. And I learned how that works from a standpoint of blessing. That if I obey Him, the blessing overtakes me. You see, I learned this. I said, wherever I go that God sends me, I'm always going to be blessed because that is my place of milk and honey. In the will of God, I don't ever have to pray for God to bless me. That is the blessed place. If you're trying to get God to bless you, you don't know yet you belong there. See, I'm in the place of blessing. When I worked at H.P. Reese Candy Company, once I got saved, I never struggled for positioning within the place. I would, this is my place. God spoke to me and told me, I want you to stay here. You're going to be here for a while. After I got born again, I said, okay, this is my place of milk and honey. This is the place I'll be blessed. So you know what? I didn't run the place down anymore. See, I'm not going to knock my blessing. I listen to people knock their blessing all the time, wonder why they're so miserable and they're so, because they're running around. They don't know where they're supposed to be, nothing. They don't know anything. See, you need information to walk by faith. See, sanctification is about information to walk in it. You can't live a sanctified life when you don't know anything about it. When you don't know what you are, when you're trying to be what you don't believe you are. And so we want to look at this. This is why, as any man in Christ, he's a new creation. What is this new creation? He said you are. You're a new creation. What is this new creation? What is it? Well, we know this new creation is a king and a priest of God, separated from God. A special nation of people. You're in a special nation of people. Do you live like you're a special nation of people, that you're in this special nation? Are you in a specific nation? That God separated to himself this people. This is why when we read about it, we talk about heaven, and we talk about going to heaven. You got to be born again to get to heaven. But see, only this special people, this group that he's bought and paid for, that's the only group gets to go there. This group here goes. This is his special ones. And he said, I'm going to prepare this special place for you guys. See, this group, this nation, they're different. And in understanding and seeing ourselves, see, in this manner, when you understand, what am I? I want a revelation of who I really am. Who am I in this earth? We're trying to walk in authority. You can't walk in authority when you don't know you have. You know, you can get a guy who wants to be a police officer, that don't mean he can sit and dream all he wants to be, whatever it is. Ain't till he's made a police officer till he can go walk in it and go do those things, whatever it is that authority wants to walk in. No matter what he tries to do, it don't matter. Well, it's the same way with us, but we're in it. You know, we've already been ordained to this thing. We're this special people. We're priests of God. I mean, just, it's like I told the Lord, I mean, I want a revelation that I'm the temple of God and God lives in me. I want it so that is, no matter what I do, where I go, every morning when I wake up, that is the knowledge in me, that God is in me, that I'm the temple of God. You know, most Christians, we need to watch because we have in our minds of things. We go to pray and we think about trying to get a hold of God and that kind of stuff. We have the wrong, it's all wrong thinking. We're trying to do things. Well, you know, we're trying, people use, Randy Greer uses the things, the term about getting a hold of the horns of the altar. And I know what he uses the term for is the idea of you got to get serious and try to really go after God about something and to learn something or to know something that you need to know. But a lot of people, they think of sort of like this thing, we're trying to struggle to get a hold of God. We're not struggling to get a hold of God. I mean, God done moved in. We're not struggling. You know, the Jews in the Old Testament knew exactly where God was. They knew exactly where he was at. And the church is walking around like, look. They knew exactly what. Where's God? Oh, his presence is up there in the temple. You got to get up there. And I hear ministers and stuff saying, you know, boy, we just need to get to God. You know, they're saying things like, excuse me, ain't you been saved yet? Or whatever. But see, not living in the knowledge. You can't live a sanctified life. Sanctification is in God. And if you ain't in him, you ain't sanctified. You ain't set apart. We are already set apart by God. We're set apart as a people. He's already made a covenant with us. And see, getting this knowledge in us of who and what we are. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia in the last chapter, and in verse, it's the, right at the end of the sixth chapter, almost at the end of the thing. He said in verse 15, he said, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. He said, but a new creation. The only thing that matters is being born again. It's being born again, being born into this nation and being one of these people that has been separated by God, that has been made a royal priesthood, that is the temple of God. That's the only thing that matters. In other words, naturally who you are doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters is the new creation. That's the only thing. In other words, that's the high priority. That's the only things that matter. It doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. None of that matters. The only things that matters is the new birth. You know, John said to Nicodemus in John the third chapter, and he told him, he said, you must be born again. In other words, you have to become a new creation. You must. That has to take place. There's no other way, no other way to get into the kingdom of God. See, a changed people become changed by the knowledge of God. I want you to read a scripture here also. It's from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. See, it's one of the things is I really appreciate back in, when I first came in the kingdom, another thing they were teaching a lot on the areas of who we are in Christ, which were hugely helpful things. See, a lot of Christianity today, many people are not being taught in these areas. They don't know who they are. They don't see their identity in Christ. We talk about Christ being in us. Well, what about me being in Him? What am I in Him? We don't know about these things. Therefore, we're trying to live out. We're trying to become something. Then we'll believe we are. Now, I want to see in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 30. This is what Apostle Paul wrote to this church. Now, this is a church that's carnal. He has said a bunch of wonderful things that we need to know. They're really basics of the Word of God. But listen to what he says, verse 30. But of Him, speaking of God, you are in Christ Jesus. This is what you are in Christ Jesus. This is not what you're going to become to be. It's what you are. Who became for us, what did He become for me? Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's interesting I was meditating. This is one of the scriptures I was meditating this week. But of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. See, we're in Christ. He's not just in me. I'm in Him. I'm seated in heavenly places. Jesus, all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, all authority. If I'm in Christ, He can't have it and I don't. See, we're not trying to get authority and we're not trying. We have it. Something given. But I want you to see what He says. What's He from? He says, He became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Isn't it interesting? Now, this is one thing as I learn about scriptures, and the Holy Spirit's bear witness with me in this, is the fact we have this thing in scripture which lots of times the church don't pay any attention to, and we put things in any order that we like. But He put an order here, and I thought, isn't it interesting? He put down wisdom of God first, then righteousness and sanctification, and then He mentions redemption. Oh, we would say redemption first. Oh, the first thing He gave me. But that isn't what Paul said. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word. Wisdom of God comes first before you ever got redeemed. And I want to carry, I don't care how redeemed you are, if you don't know about righteousness and sanctification, you ain't ever going to amount to much. And this is the church world. The church, remember, He's writing to the church. He's not writing the world by getting saved. Right now in the church, redemption's what you got. That's why He wrote the letter. You need wisdom, you need to understand sanctification, and you need to understand righteousness. You need to understand those things. Why? So you can live those things. It's hard to try to live what you don't know you are. It's hard to try to live to something you don't know much about. And this is what He said. First of all, He said wisdom from God. See, we need wisdom in these areas. We need God. We need revelation in these areas concerning righteousness and sanctification. You know, we're the righteousness of God. God made us righteous by birth. Now, God wants us to live righteous. In other words, the inner man, your inner man, the real you, is righteous. He was created in righteousness. Your real man on the inside, your spirit, is sanctified. It's set apart by God. It's holy. The Bible says it's holy. That's sanctification. You're holy. It goes scriptures are saying about we've been purified by God. God. Now, we need to know what we want to do is we want to live that out in this world. Our desire is to live like what we are. See, if you have millions of dollars, don't you want to be able to live like you have millions? You know, there are people out here, and I've learned over the years, there's people out here who have, you know, lots of money and different things, but they don't live like they do, and they're not here living. And you know what? They will die and have hardly done anything with what they have, and their kids will get it and live like they're doing good. But they've hardly done a thing with it. They haven't lived or done anything with what they have. So having something doesn't mean that you're going to live it out. You could be righteous, but never live righteous. If it's something you go hide, it's something that's hidden from you. It might be hidden by lack of knowledge or whatever. But see, your flesh, I don't know if your flesh is like mine. My flesh always doesn't want to live sanctified. My flesh doesn't want to always live righteous. So what I'm doing, I want to how to let this inner man live out what he is on the outside. See, the inner man wants to live out. God can't live a life out through you when your flesh dominates to do whatever it wants. He can only do it through your inner man. God can't live out. He can only do it through your inner man. No more than God can express himself through your human spirit, and he can't do it any more than your knowledge. Did you notice that? You never yield to God more than the knowledge you have. Unless he would just do something supernatural through you that make you all of a sudden do something, but that'll only last for, you know, a few minutes and then you're back to you again. But God works through us by the knowledge we have and allow him when he wants to move. We recognize, that's why it says as many as are led by the Spirit. You have to be led by your inner man because your inner man is trying to express what God wants to do. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's why if I don't know the Holy Spirit, I don't pay, so the Holy Spirit can be trying to prompt me to do something, but if I don't have the knowledge of it or no, I can turn around and block that off and just do whatever in the natural. Carry it out, what I think. See, religion's full of, religion, people love religion. They love it because it writes books with all the do's and don'ts. I don't have to think 2 seconds. I don't have to think about letting God move through me. I just follow the pattern of what they said to do and I'm all right. All they did, I mean, I remember stupid, back in this thing, back in the 1980s, you know, they started this book. They started these books about dealing with demons and stuff. And I remember this one book and I went to a church and I remember the pastor got the book and was giving it out to people and, oh, how you follow God. If you have this certain problem, then you have this certain demon. And if you have this that happens or that happens, you have this. Or this is what's operating, you know, and if a person told a lie, well, then you have a lying spirit. And then all this, what they did was they took a book and I thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy? You see what a person does on the outside. You don't know, but by the Holy Ghost, what's going on with people. You know, but they wrote a book. And see, people like that because then they run around. Well, you know, this is going on, so that person has this spirit. And then these knuckleheads, what they do is go try to cast that spirit out of the person, and it never changes because that ain't what was going on. See, people love that kind of stuff. People love that. Those books always come out and sell. That stuff will sell because Christians are lazy. They won't be led by the Spirit. You go hear from God and write a book and tell me, do this, don't do that. And then while I'm out, I'm going to Hershey Park. There ain't nothing wrong going to Hershey Park. But if you ain't studying the Word of God and spending time with God, it does hurt you if you're trying to have somebody else do the work. No, you're going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit. I can teach things on how to be led by the Spirit, but you're going to have to take time to learn how to do it. I don't care how much I teach on. My teaching on it, ain't, you know, Kenneth Hagin, I listened to his tapes. He had tapes and I wore them babies out. Literally wore them out. Had to buy new ones. Wore them things out listening to them. Some of those tapes were easy to wear out in those days. I'll tell you what, they used to tangle up in there. Remember, you had to try to get it out of your machine and get it out of the untangles and had all the wrinkles in it. And you try to straighten them out, round them back and forth. I remember I used to have to take I'd take them out of one case, wouldn't work right. You'd just take them out of that case and stick them in the reels in another case. You know, put them in, see if that'd make it work better. And you'd go through all that stuff to listen. And I listened to them and listened to them, wore them out, get them stuck in the car. The car was always a fun place to get them stuck. That was the exciting place. Because you pull that out and there's 15 minutes of tape back in that thing. And it's done knotted and everything there is back there. And you're trying to hold that thing open and sticking stuff back in there. Oh, I don't want to lose this post. One of my favorite parts. I would. Oh, I did that stuff. If you didn't, well, I'll tell you what, I sure did. I did often. I wore a lot of tapes out. Now, I would listen to all them, but you know what? I gained knowledge. But you know what? I really didn't get a lot of wisdom of what to do till I started practicing it. And then I started getting understanding about how it worked. You ain't going to sit, you ain't going to listen to me preach and you get knowledge about a lot of things. You're going to have to start to practice it. Then knowledge starts to come to you. You'll start getting wisdom as you start to practice it. I started because many times when we hear something said, we perceive it in a way that we're thinking and our mind works. I used to think about things about being led by the Spirit, what Brother Hagin would say. And I had my thing in my mind what I thought he was talking about. But when I had it actually take place, I found out, oh, this is different than I thought. But see, you have your own way of thinking. You judge everything on what you already know. All of us do. We judge by what we already know. Well, what you already know that you perceive and put to something else is taught, you're probably wrong. See, this is why people become unteachable. They think, they take the knowledge they have and they start measuring everything against their knowledge. You got to realize you don't have knowledge of everything. And you need to keep your face of what I think about it may not be so at all. And this is what I learned. I learned what I think about some things, and I found out lots of things I didn't know at all. And when I started practicing, I found out it was really different actually using it than it was that I thought just by listening to it, because I was perceiving it through the knowledge that I had. And I had really limited knowledge in that area because I was listening to a subject I didn't know nothing about. So how could I use my knowledge to come up with what was going to be right? I was going to have to. So I learned, start to practice. You start practice. I found this out. When I started to practice, the Holy Spirit started to teach me. He started to take the things that Kenneth Hagin had said and started to show me by example. It's just like with healing. When I decided I wanted to understand healing and that stuff, the Holy Spirit went to work. It was totally different about things than I anticipated because I had my way of thinking about it. And when I got over in the thing and the Holy Ghost started dealing, it's like I always get that testimony. The first time dealing in areas of healing and I turned around and got sick and the Lord said to me, I was thinking about, I'll just make a confession, say that I'm healed. See, I was going to use a confession thing. I thought that's just what you do. And he said, if you stay in bed, you're going to stay sick all day. Well, man, I tell you what, that threw my knowledge off. Hold it. And then he said to me, do you really believe you're healed? Because see, I said to him, I wanted to know how to act on the word. And he's going to teach me how to act the word. He said, if you stay in bed, he said, you're going to stay sick all day. I thought, well, this is wonderful. He said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? I said, yeah, and he quoted it to him. He said, if you believe it, then get up and act like it. Thought, whoa, that was different than I thought. All I've ever heard up to that time is Mr. and Mrs. Confession teaching. They didn't tell us about acting like it was really happening after it. That just confession was going to bring it to pass. I found out confession was good. But you're going to have to start acting like your confession's real. So I ain't going to do that. That is troublesome. That makes me uncomfortable. I want to be comfortable. Please do. But you do need knowledge, and that's why I was teaching is practicing the word. Is one of the things that we're teaching now on these things. It requires study of yourself in the Word to look into these things concerning sanctification, concerning righteousness. You need to understand who and what you are. You see, the Lord taught me, you know, when I first started off, I was like most people. I had the idea of healing was the fact is, well, you got sick and then you got healed. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a revelation one day, you are healed. That just changed everything for me. So you got that revelation. I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am. I'm already healed. See, most people think, well, I'm going to get sick and I'm going to believe God for healing. I'm sorry. When something already attacked me, I was already healed. I was already healed. See, when that revelation came to me, by His stripes you were healed, man, I was healed. I'm not going to get healed. I was. Man, when that light went on in me, it's like I saw that. It was like, oh my. This changes the whole thing for me about healing. I'm not trying to get something. This is something I am. I am. This is something I am. Most of you are still trying to get. You haven't found out you am. Understand? You need that revelation. You need to come to that revelation that I am. I'm going to tell you what. I've never gone through anything in any kind of attack. I'm not trying to get it. I have it. It belongs to me. It's mine. Why? By birth. It's already mine by birth. I was born healed. Any man be in Christ. The day I got in Christ, I was healed. But now I didn't start off healed. Why? Why could sickness still come and knock on my door and dominate me? The reason it could, I didn't have any information. I didn't have wisdom from God. I didn't know enough about righteousness. I didn't know enough about sanctification. Boy, when I found out, woo-hoo, and got that revelation, I am. Now think about this. This will be a little revelation for you that is good. It's a good place to meditate. Are you really in Christ? Are you really in Christ? Now think about it. Now the Bible says, am I really in Him? Are we really one? Is Jesus really sick? See, this is not to condemn anybody. This is revelation you need. I couldn't be sick because Jesus ain't sick. I'm in Him. He don't have a bad leg. Or He don't have a this. I eat His bad leg. You know what I mean? I mean, this is just to start to think of. We have to take on a whole different perspective if we're going to live certain things. If you're going to live as a sanctified person, I can tell you the do's, some do's and don'ts, but it doesn't matter. If you don't know who you are, you wouldn't believe you'd live it anyhow. It's just like with healing. It's people struggle in these areas because what we've done, the churches teach healing down on this level. Get sick, do whatever you can to get well, that God wants you well. It's good. People get help, but most people don't. Most Christians will suffer out of sickness as long as anybody in the world will. They will spend as much time getting healed as it takes the average, you know, person in the world to get healed. It's because we're teaching down here on a level way down yonder. People, I remember when I came into kingdom, everybody thought it was such a big deal that they believed in healing. Yet I'm around people and the average one can't get healed. But they thought it was such a big deal. Well, this group over, they don't even believe in healing. Well, why? The Catholics believed in healing before the Protestants, I think, ever did. I don't know. The Catholics believed in miracles. And the Protestants, most of them don't. And all the Protestants run around knocking the Catholics. And I thought, my God, I ought to be a Catholic. At least they believe in the supernatural. At least they thought God was supernatural. They're 10 points ahead of the Protestants starting out. But you see what I'm saying? When revelation, when we get revelation and start to practice things, and this is why with sanctification and righteousness are the same way. We are, if you're limited in wisdom, if you're limited in the area of wisdom on these areas, is understanding righteous. I'm as righteous as God is. This is, see, these are the things that are crazy to me. When I learned about righteousness, and I'm as righteous as God is, and He wants me sick. But yet He don't want Jesus sick. And I'm in Jesus. But see, you put these, they don't line up together. Well, see, people will pray trying to get healing, saying, I'm the righteousness of God. Do you think Jesus is hacking at the throne? And the Father said, hey, get the mask. Would you? Get the mask. Get the mask. 6 feet back, buddy. The angels will go. Praise His holy name. See, we say we're in Christ. But really, we don't have a revelation that that's true. As He is, I might be one day in this world. That's how the church reads it. As He is, I will try to be in this world. It says, as He is, so are we in this world. You can't live so as He is till you believe you as He is. You see what this message is about? See, we got to get over and understand that we are sanctified. We are set apart by God. What we have become. God's view. You know, we get sick in our body, but is the real you sick? I mean, your arm's hurting, so inside your spirit, your spiritual arm, you look in and it's in a sling. And it's your spirit's arm's in a sling. See, but we deal with ourselves like we're like, because why? We are always trying to deal with ourselves from the outside. We don't deal with ourselves from the spirit. We say, hey, the inside guy's good, outside, you better strap up. See, you can't bring the outside man under till you can let the inside man start operating outside. And we don't do that. The outside comes first. The outside continually comes first. Now, in Hebrews 2:11, I want to read you some scriptures, and I'm really disappointed because the way that they translate it in the New King James, because they completely translate it wrong. This is why you need to study. You know, people, I know like a lot of people today, they like a lot of translations. You know, there's a lot of translations that I've looked at already and that stuff that, I mean, say some things pretty darn neat. But when I look at the Hebrew and the Greek of it, it doesn't say that. See, people have loved to say things they like to hear say certain ways. You know, you go around quoting things like you like to hear them. But what's God said? That's what I want to know. What's God said on the subject? Now, the King James says this, and I want you, because if you're reading out the New King James, it's wrong. This is in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 11, says this, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That word being isn't in the Greek. In fact, none of the part it says those who are being sanctified is in the Greek. The only word that is there in the Greek is the word sanctified. And because of how the sentence is written in Greek, it's the idea is just this. The one who is sanctifying, The one who sanctifies, and really you could put like those who are sanctified. In other words, he's making a statement about the person who's sanctified by the one who sanctifies. The word being's not there. You're not being sanctified. In fact, the King James gets it right. The King James says, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are one. You're not being sanctified. This is the whole thing. People get their religious ideas. And translations run to people's religious ideas. You need to be careful. One of the things, we need to let the Holy Spirit translate for us. I've learned to do that. See, I've sat down many times and I've read things and read over them and I'm studying. I'll tell you what, I've had literally thousands of times I've had this happen. The Holy Spirit tells me, you go look up that, what that there's really talking about, look at, and I'll start to study it. And I think, oh my God. It's different than I thought. I started to think, what the writer was trying to say. It wasn't the way men said it. But see, God will bring me to things all the time and tell me. It's one of the things I learned even with definitions. Lots of times people don't know what words mean. We think we do. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. 99.9% of Christians don't even have a clue what the word sanctify really means in its fullness. Has no clue. They don't even know what righteousness means. It's just terms that we use and we think we know, but nobody ever looks up to find out. What is that really talking about? What does that really mean? We don't. We just assume that we know. Well, you can't pay any attention to language today. What people might say it something means. I mean, tomorrow, you know, words that we run around and use might end up to be used for something just absolutely crazy that you don't know about. But especially spiritual terms in the church world today, these are not the normal terms. You don't go in the average church today and talk about sanctification. People don't know what it's even talking about or what it means. They don't know anything. They have no clue. And people generally thought, well, say, you're just separated. It's more than separated. We're talking about, what am I, if I have a sanctification, what am I sanctified from and what am I sanctified to? They don't know. The average church preaches, you know, you just got your sins forgiven. You're not a royal priesthood. You're not a holy nation. You're an old sinner saved by grace. Grace saved you, and you know what? You still aren't going to do very good. You're still going to pretty much live like sin. That's why grace. That's why we have 1 John 1:9, because I've heard ministers say this. I have to go to 1 John 1:9 every day. Well, I'm going to tell you what. That guy better get out of the pulpit. Anybody that gave that man a nickel and didn't lock him up in a prison someplace, because he's insane. He can't quit sinning one day. Now, he probably don't use it every day. He lied to stress a point. But the whole thing of it is give an idea that sinning among Christians is normal. That's why sinning Christians is normal. They have been preached it's a normality. They don't preach sanctification. They don't preach who they are. They aren't preached about what they are. They don't preach that they're holy. No, you're just a dirty dog yet. You're just somebody trying to get by. God's putting up with you because of blood. He can't even look you in the face. He has to look through you through the blood. You didn't really become a new creation. You're still the dirty dog. And grace is about putting up with dirty dogs. And one day, Jesus is going to come and take us, and then we're all going to be geniuses. No, heaven's going to be full of Christians that don't know a thing and are going to have to learn. It doesn't change from here to there. You don't know nothing here, you will know nothing there. You'll have to learn it. That changes not. You don't go to heaven and know everything. That will not happen. You're going to have to learn. It operates the same on this side. I don't know how people get this idea. I go to heaven, I'm going to know everything. I've heard ministers say this. You get to heaven, you're not going to know anybody. You're not going to know anyone. Now, he's probably one we don't want to know. So whoever he is, I hope he carries a sign that says, please don't know me. You know, we're not going to know anybody in heaven. Well, I don't know where people get those ideas from. Scripture don't teach it. People have weird ideas and stuff. But I want you just to get across, though, on the point that the one who sanctified you is who does the sanctification, sanctified you. You are sanctified. You have been set apart by God, in other words, and we found out you were put into a priesthood. You're in this nation. You're born in by birth. Your sanctification is by your birth. So you're sanctified. Just the same as you're righteous by birth. That's what you are. You are righteous. You have no ability. You could never fulfill Hebrew scriptures of coming boldly to the throne of grace. If you are not righteous and you are not sanctified, you have no place to come boldly to the throne of grace. You could not use 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 is set up for the sanctified and the righteous. It's speaking to the believer. And he's speaking the world. The world can't come boldly to the throne of grace. The world comes to receive Christ and get born again. Then they can go boldly to the throne of grace. But they can't come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. The world has to come to Christ. You and I can go right to the throne of God. We can go right to the throne. We're supposed to come to the throne of grace. The grace is a place where you and I enter and go to. And that happens, it says, if anyone sins, it don't say when anyone sins. It says if you do. In other words, it's not the norm to sin. It's not normal. It's not normal that we're committing sins. Why? Because we're the sanctified. We're the righteous. That's who we are. We're the sanctified. We're the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed, nobody that's redeemed is unrighteous or not sanctified. There may be people living lives like they're not. It's because they don't know who they are. They ain't got a clue who they are. They don't have a good clue who or what they are. You know, there's going to be people in heaven, and you know they're going to make it. How they're going to make it to heaven? Because they're dumb as a stick. They got saved, never learned a thing. And you know what? They're going to go to heaven because they're just big babies. They accepted Jesus and they lived out the lives that they thought, you know, that they were taught in their church, but don't know at all what's going on. Don't know at all what's happening. Stumbling all around, and they're going to get to heaven. I always think about what's his name, the evangelist, he got caught up to heaven. Jesse, when he said the one guy made it to heaven, and he saw the guy was going, I made it. I think we're going to see a lot of that. You know what there is? We need to understand. Some people are just big babies. They don't know a thing. They don't know. They've gone along. They've sat in the big baby church. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to see ministers in heaven who they just numbered a bunch of big babies. That's all they were. They only got in. They just got saved, but just dumb as a stick. All the time they have been righteous, never found it out, never knew it. Because, that's heresy. See, I got things were written about me because I preach heresy that, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. I cast out demons. See, that's heresy. You know, Jesus said we would cast out demons. They don't believe it. See, these baby Christians do. That's what baby Christians don't believe in that stuff. They don't believe what Jesus said. They have their little religious. They got their thumb in their mouth running around, you know. Everybody else is something weird, and they're the weird ones in the bunch. Everybody has to change their diapers all the time. So, but there's another scripture I want to read you in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And verse 14 says this. It's another one of those where it was in the New King James. They did exactly the same thing as they did in the other one. They interpreted it the way they thought rather than the way it really says in the Greek. They take, in 10th chapter verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's not true. It's those who are sanctified. In fact, if you go read the King James, and other ones I've read too, they translate it properly, but the New King James translates it, those who are being sanctified. His offering sanctified us, folks. Because I just want you to think about this. Now, think about your inner man being sanctified. If it is a process of sanctification, when do you reach it? When do you know you got to the place where you are? Now, I can tell you this about living a sanctified life. You're never going to reach the place where you're just totally you're always working and developing in your sanctified life to live it out. But your inner man is sanctified, set apart. Your flesh, you're working with it to let the inner man express itself to the outside where you live a sanctified life. Where you don't do as much dumb as you used to. Where sin don't dominate you and rule you like it does generally with people in the outer man. So you learn to do that. That is expressing what you are on the inside. See, the new birth, you aren't becoming to the place to be born again. You're not working at born again. You are born again. You are a new creation. Now, that sanctification and righteousness is what that new man is, and you want to be able to express that righteousness and that sanctification out of you on the outside, because that's what you really are. See, that's what the Lord told me many years ago. He said to me, He said, my people live a lie. He said, what they really are on the inside, they show to people as if they're not. They live like the world lives. And He said, that's a lie. They're not that. That's not what they are. We're expressing. And now we've got so good at it, we preach that's the way it's supposed to be. You get saved, get your sins forgiven, and live like hell till Jesus comes. And grace takes care of you. That is a life that's a lie. Because that's what you're not. You're not like the world. That's what you're not. You're not like the world. The world is unsanctified. The world is unrighteous. The world is not born of God. The world does not have the nature of God. The world is not a king and a priest of God. The world is not a temple of God. God does not dwell in them and live in them. I can't stand when I hear these Christians say they're people in the series. Well, I put my pants on just like you. I want you to know this. I put pants on, but I ain't like you. Just because I wear pants, that's no identification of who we are. Stupid preachers. Saying these dumb things, demoralizing the saints, edifying the unbeliever to continue in their sin. That's not who you are. Hallelujah. You're the millionaire. Let's live like the millionaire. Hallelujah. You're in charge of something. You know, to see, we need to get over in ourselves. That's why if we understand this, we don't look at what's going on in Washington and all this crazy stuff that's going around here. You can keep joy in your heart. You know who you are. Too many people are identified with political parties. You know, the Republicans are worried because they said you didn't pay for your membership. Well, I wasn't going to. I haven't in a few years because I don't want to be identified with them. There's too many nuts in the bunch. All they know is money's going to fix it all. But I know the one who can fix it all. And you know what? He ain't always, I don't have to send money to heaven to try to get him to do something. I don't have to do that. I mean, if anybody wants to change something on the earth, it's him. And we're the only people he can do it through. It won't get done without the church, so the church has to know who they are. We must, without a doubt, know who we are. We must see ourselves in the light of who we are. You will only become what you believe you are. Most people are trying to become something. It's not. We're not climbing the ladder of success. You're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can't get higher up the ladder. There's nobody in this earth who sits in a higher place than you. Every sinner sits beneath where I'm at. They're children of the devil. I'm seated in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. The devil's so far beyond my feet, he can't even see the bottom of my shoes. I don't have to step on him. He ain't even close enough to step on. Hallelujah. We sit in a place of authority in seeing ourselves. When we see these things in the earth, we see things going on and they seem insurmountable to change. But not if you know who you are. I have a place and a position I can stand with the God of heaven. We talk about all things are possible to him that believes. It's easy to believe if you know who you are. where it would only become natural that you and I would go to the presence of God. And the fact that you, Him responding to you, you don't have to whine for 6 hours to get Him to hear. If I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, I know I have the petition that I request of Him. Oh, my, 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 my. Why? Because I'm this terrible thing. I'm righteous and I'm sanctified. But most will tell you, no, you're not. No, who do you think you are? That here. Who do you think you're sanctified? Well, if I'm not, I'm not a child of God. If I'm not righteous, I'm not a child of God. If I'm not holy, I'm not a child of God. I can stand in His presence. I never got righteousness, sanctification, or holiness because of anything I did. But you know what? I ain't giving it up just because I didn't earn it. If you stick $10 million in my checking account, don't be surprised if it was a mistake. It ain't there when you go back and look for it. I ain't giving it back. Jesus didn't put these things to your account by mistake. The world keeps turning around and throwing it back in His face. And I'm talking the church world. They're throwing it back in His face like it don't belong to us. That we're going to try to earn these things. You can't earn righteousness. You can't earn sanctification. It's given. So you can stand in the presence of God. Can you see why Jesus said to the disciples, if you ask the Father anything in my name, He'll do it for you. You're as righteous as I am. You'll be as sanctified as I am. You can stand in Him without any shame, without any kind of guilt. You can go right into the face of God and ask Him anything that Jesus could ask for, and you can have it. My words. my words. Hallelujah. It belongs to you. See, Mark 11:24, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. The answer is so sure, we're to believe we have it before we ask it. The sanctification and righteousness of God is so set in this new birth, it's already ours. The same inheritance Jesus has, we have. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get anything. We should be doing everything we can to live in what we got. But first we must know what we have. Hallelujah. And what you have is greater than you thought. It's more glory. Because I'll tell you what, I study it and look at that, and I'll tell you it blows my little mind, and I can study it and learn a little more. But I'll tell you what, every time it blows my mind because there's always more. It's more glorious than I thought it was the first time. And then the second time I study it, it's more glorious than I thought. Then I'll go study it again, and it's more glorious than I thought. Hallelujah. There's always enough glory to go around. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father God, Your Word is so wonderful and great. Lord, it is incredible how gracious and kind Your words are. How wonderful. And Lord God, I want to thank You that for a people who are hungry for those words, who desire those words, who long for those words, to know and understand them and to comprehend them. Lord, if anything, Lord God, we want Your wisdom. Hallelujah. Your wisdom, because Lord God, we don't want to just look at these words. Lord God, we want to live these words. Oh Lord, this world out here needs a people who live these words. Oh, the church. We need to live them, Lord God. Hallelujah. For our own sakes. Hallelujah. These wonderful and gracious and glorious words. And I want to thank You, Father. Father, You've given us the Holy Spirit. And Father, we recognize the fact that, Lord God, it isn't by some great wisdom that we have or we've attained because we're smart. Lord God, it was the wonderful Holy Spirit who's unveiled these things, who shows these things to us. And we see them today and we delight in them, Lord God, because they were given freely to us. And Lord God, we recognize that fact. Holy Spirit, we sure do need Your help. Hallelujah. Lord, because Holy Spirit, we've only touched and we realize we've only touched in these wonderful things that have been won for us by our Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, we desire that You teach us more, bring more of these things to our light and our understanding. Lord God, because The people of this world need this. They need a people. They need a people walking around in this earth who are the people of God. Or a people who are a heavenly people and not an earthly people. Hallelujah. A people who are walking above and are standing above, Lord. Someone that can bring them up. Someone that can reach to them and pull them up. Hallelujah. Lord God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're going to guide us and you're going to direct us and teach us. Oh, Holy Spirit. And we're going to live this life. We're going to live out this sanctification. We're going to live out this holiness. Hallelujah. We're going to live out this purity. We're going to live out this righteousness. Hallelujah. We're going to walk in it. We're going to stand in your face, Lord God, in these. We're going to call upon you from the position you have made us. And Lord God, Lord, the things that we have desired, that heaven will be revealed in the earth. Hallelujah. That we will call those things into existence that you desire. Your plan and your purpose will come to pass. Because Lord God, we're a people who will take a hold of it and we will bring it into the earth. Hallelujah. Lord, we'll be the ones where Jesus said the violent will take it by force. Lord God, we're not going to let the devil hold these things back. Where he will not stand in the way of the church. Hallelujah. For we shall walk in the glory that we have been born in. Lord God, we shall walk in the glory of righteousness and holiness, Lord God. We shall live and walk in this glory. We will call upon you. We will join together with you in this glory. Hallelujah. And that glory of heaven will be freely moved into the earth. Hallelujah. Through the church of Jesus Christ. Because the glory of God is natural for us. Hallelujah. It's part of what we are, Lord God. We are the glory of God. We're your outshining light in the world. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. And your words will go forth with power. Hallelujah. And we will be the vessels of your word, Lord God. We will speak your words forth as Jesus said. Hallelujah. He would say, I said nothing. Hallelujah. Unless the Father said it. Hallelujah. I thank you. Your words will prevail and dominate in these last days. And many will come and walk in the glory and in the light of God because your word has going forth in glory. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.